Well, towards solving the Newfoundland and Labrador debt problem, from profound procrastination to ambitious aspiration, that's the title of a public lecture this evening at MUN. Larry Short will be delivering the address. He's CPA Canada's financial literacy spokesperson, and he joins me live in studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you say you're going to be sharing a non-jargony definition of debt. What is that?
So, a large part of what we do with CPA Canada is literacy is explain to people in English in small words, or if you're in Quebec, French in small words, exactly what their finances are about. So in this way, what we've heard many conversations about the province of Newfoundland has a debt problem, has a debt crisis. What does that exactly mean? So the first part of the presentation is laying out here's the financial statements. Here's the fact that we are 15 odd billion dollars in debt, notwithstanding the $2.5 billion that was delivered a week and a half ago. And how did we get to that point? What does it mean? And what effect is that going to have on the average Newfoundland Labradorian in the long run?
What kind of factors have pushed that debt so high right now?
Well, we started out with not having any money in 2003. I mean, we were a have-not province at that time. Oil hit and took off to $145 a barrel. Quite frankly, we made up for lost periods in the past when our wages in this province were lower than the rest of the country, where expenditures had been put off for many, many years and spent. So we basically brought in the money and spent it as fast as it came in the door, because the belief at the time, I mean, even in 2007, the thought was that we were running out of oil. And oil in 2008, June-ish, was $145 a barrel. So, oh, this is great. Then we had the 2008 recession, or the worldwide recession that drove the price of oil down. And then we had fracking, and I'm not swearing here, it's a type of technology that the Americans introduced in 2014 that brought it all the way down to $26 a barrel. But we'd already been seduced by the fact that we had all this money coming in, and we had raised salaries, and we'd hired a lot of people, and we didn't lay them off, and we didn't cut salaries. So as a consequence, we continue to spend, and we continue to spend at the levels of 2012, while our revenue coming in the door is not as high as it used to be. So that's the long and the short of it. I mean, on top of that, there's Muskrat Falls and some other developments, but certainly that was the basic get.
Yeah, you bring up Muskrat Falls. So how is that impacting us? What can we learn from what we've done with Muskrat Falls?
Oh, hence the second part of the lecture, which is how did we get into, you know, what are the lessons that we did learn from Muskrat Falls? And a lot of it is that there's no skin in the game. And what I mean by that is the fact that people who are making decisions or who have made decisions in the past in the province there was no consequence if they got things wrong. And you know, you can say that, well, it's supposed to be the politician's responsibility to oversee this sort of thing, but we've seen through the hearings that actually didn't arise for a number of reasons, whether it's blamed one way or the other. But that certainly complicated the entire process. So not only did we have revenue drop off, we had this huge monstrous expenditure that went even larger than expected, plus energy costs have come down quite significantly, and now we're faced with the problem of the fact that the world does not want oil. I mean, it needs oil right now, but oil is probably where coal was in the 1950s, and that over the next number of years, we will see countries such as Norway, Germany, even China move dramatically away from coal as much as they possibly can, while we have other challenges such as the Chinese are now going to start up fracking. And although there may be some relief on the horizon if the Democrats get reelected in the United States, because they'll bring back environmental controls that may cause fracking companies to not expand as fast as they have in the past, the Chinese will not be putting those controls in because they need the energy. So we could see big challenges to oil price in the future. The last point I could, though, was there's a bill overhanging all of this called Bill C-69. And it has gone through second reading in the Canadian and in Ottawa, and it's in front of the Senate right now. And if that bill goes through the way it is today, we will have rules imposed on us the same way that Alberta has rules imposed on them on pipelines. So there's some really big challenges out there, and we need to find a way to move forward. And that's what the third part of the discussion is about.
So a lot of this, you know, there's a lot of balls in the air here affecting debt provincially, including oil, Muskrat Falls, and political situations in other places and here. What kind of solutions are we bringing to talk about all of solutions to all of these pretty dark problems?
Right. So there's two potential avenues for the province. One is that Bill 69 doesn't go through, and in fact it improves such circumstances so that we can get oil developments happen faster in this province. And if that happens, then revenue picks up quite substantially, and a lot of the problems that we're facing is made a lot easier. And the other choice is that Bill 69 goes through and we do not have any other major developments for the next 20 years. In either case, we will eventually end up with a province that needs to be off the oil source as being a source of revenue. And in both cases, the solution looks at other measures that we can be doing that other countries have gone through or other areas have gone through. So, for example, Ireland went through a crisis somewhat similar to what we're going through, probably much more severe, 2009 through 2011. And 2011, they had unemployment of 15%. Now, they had no oil, right? They had no government to come turn around and say, will you backstop us? They had loans coming from the European Central Bank, but they didn't have any way that they could turn and say, you know, if we just cut our expenses, we'll get ahead. So what did Ireland do? What is Norway doing? And Norway, quite frankly, is the smartest kid in the room. They discovered oil later than the Saudis did. They made a whole series of changes over time, and they've built up the largest sovereign fund. So there's $1 trillion set aside in Norway to take care of the future and to move that country towards an economy that is no longer dependent on oil. So things such as in Norway, there are 15 different universities offering alternative energy, clean energy degrees, whereas in Canada, there are very few, and there's none in Newfoundland, of course. So how do we change that? How do we change our distribution of healthcare, which is the single biggest cost that we have? And we can't just close the hospitals, which is where all the costs are. We have to find other alternative means of delivering healthcare to the province and use things that have been resisted in the past. Things like more midwives, things like more practical nurses, use of clinics and the like, rather than wholesale hospitals throughout the province. So there's some pretty meaty points for discussion.
There's some interesting solutions, of course. Larry Short, you're going to be talking tonight. What time is that at MUN?
That's a great question. I think I show up at around 7:30, and it's at the Faculty of Medicine. It's in room 102. There's free parking right next to the entrance for the this is the School of Medicine right next there. And it's floor 2 and 3 is free parking. And if you get lost, then check on Twitter.